You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Saturday, August 15th, and yesterday I played through all 27 etudes from memory in the recital hall by myself. But I felt like if that had been a concert, like not a high-pressure concert at all, but if that had been a low-pressure concert, there were a lot of moments I would have been pretty happy with. So I'm kind of excited about that. So to put a little bit more pressure on, I'm going to play you now the second and third of the Nouvelle Etudes. This is going to be memory. I'm going to try for memory, and there may be a little bit of yelling involved because these are still a little rough drafty. So here's the second and third of the Nouvelle Etudes. Okay, so I completely forgot that the second time I needed to go to octaves in the left hand. And then I sort of remembered and had a moment of lack of focus, let's call it. I also definitely need to be clearer about the difference between the smooth notes and the pointy notes, which is kind of the point of that study. And honestly, I haven't really fallen in love with the third one. I think part of the reason I've been so resistant to memorizing it, because it's just taken me forever and ever to get this thing off the page. Part of it is because it does a cool thing where it doesn't do the obvious harmonies, and then those become harder to memorize. So what I need to do is fall in love with those harmonies and the way those phrases extend. But I just honestly haven't fallen in love with it yet. And I think that I have a little bit of an attitude problem about it because these are supposed to be the easy etudes, right? These are the three Nouvelle etudes. He wrote them after he had already done his two gigantic oeuvres, you know? So these were just sort of these afterthought etudes. And so I have this, I think, idea that, oh, well, these are just the easy ones. I should be able to just toss them off. And I think I have to play them like that. In fact, what I really want to do in concert is I actually want to start with these three. The first one would be the opening of the concert. I won't play the whole thing, but just so you can hear the beginning of it. I mean, it's just gorgeous. Anyway, I want to start by playing the first three etudes and then talk to the audience about how they don't sound like etudes. They sound like incredibly beautiful pieces of music, and that Chopin completely changed the whole idea of what an etude even could be. But that's only going to be effective if I can actually play them so they don't sound like etudes. And I think that maybe the way to get there is that I have to just suck it up and admit that, yes, these are etudes. They do take work. I have to work on the skill they're teaching. And I need a story for the third one, this one. My focus just goes, like, my brain goes all over the place. So if I have a clearer story, that'll keep me better in line with that. But rough draft. You know, the rough draft is an important step on the way to the final product. And if I had to get myself from the beginning to the end of that piece on stage somehow, even if I left a little bit out or did some mistakes, I could do it. And usually I like to be at the place of, if I had to play the concert today, I could do it, even if it's not perfect or not doesn't satisfy me or isn't nearly as good as I want it to be, but I can do it. I like to be at that place with sort of regular concerts, not gigantic multi-year projects like this. But I generally like to be there at least three weeks before the concert. Of course, sometimes you get the music 2 weeks before the concert and then you just do what you can. But, you know, I like to be ready 3 weeks before. And I actually don't have a performance of these scheduled until the end of October. I'm going to try and get a couple runouts scheduled before that so that I'm sort of used to performing and back into the swing of things. But I think that I am kind of proud that these are coming. These are coming. Okay, couple of things. I have like big sort of philosophical things to talk about, mostly about the ukulele, but I'll get to that in a minute. One thing I want to say is that I'm so sorry my piano is so horribly out of tune, but it's going to be really, really better really soon. We just hired a new piano technician at Gettysburg College, and I'm so excited. He's fantastic, and so he hasn't gotten to my piano yet, but it's going to be so much better, and I'm just thrilled. So that's going to make my life a lot better, and that's a little apology I wanted to throw at you, but it's going to be better. Next time it'll be better. Okay, I want to talk to you about the Winter Wind etude and the Octaves etude, but first let me do my little ukulele tangent. So I'm learning how to play the ukulele, and it's a completely different music-making experience than I have had before. It's quiet, so it doesn't bother anybody. So I can play it really late at night, even when my kid is asleep. It doesn't weigh anything, so I can actually take it places, and I can play it outside. So I can make music outside and not bother anybody. And it's really easy. Now, I'm sure it's quite difficult to play it very, very well, but boy, is it easy to play like a beginner. It's super easy. And I'm really, really enjoying, I've been building up calluses on my left hand, which I used to be really freaked out about. I used to feel like, oh, I can't learn to play guitar or ukulele because I can't have calluses and play piano. But then I thought about the zillions of amazing violinists and conductors who also play piano really, really, really well. Like, there's a lot of them out there. So clearly people can play violin and piano well. And so, damn it, I can play ukulele. Anyway, it's been interesting to me feeling the calluses build on my fingers, so sort of feeling my fingers get less sensitive at the same time as I'm building this completely new kinesthetic awareness in my left hand. Not so much on my right hand, but I'm learning the geography of where the chords go, and it's just a completely different physical experience of harmony for me. Something else that's kind of fun and interesting is that the half steps and whole steps become so much more important than they are on the piano. So I feel like I'm learning something about how my string playing colleagues kind of experience the world, which is kind of cool. I actually really love it. And one of the other things that is really neat about it is that because I know that I'm a beginner, I have no ego invested in playing this instrument well. And I end up, I think it maybe is, no, not even maybe, I'm sure that it makes the learning better. And I have so much ego invested in playing the piano well. And that completely gets in the way some of the time. So that's sort of is a thing to work on. But it's also, it's just fun and interesting to have this other experience where as a beginner, I go, oh, cool, I made a sound and it sounded like a sound. Instead of, oh my God, this completely arcane detail was not exactly right, which is sort of where I live in these etudes. So, you know, I got to find the middle of that somehow. But that's kind of a thing that I am pretty excited about that I wanted to tell you about. Okay, Winter Wind Etude. I came up with a cheat. Now, I haven't learned how to play it well yet, so it still kind of throws my concentration. But I've been, oh, this is this one, by the way. Pretty good, right? I can't play the rest of it like that. I can only play the first page. I didn't even get to the bottom of the first page. So one of the things that starts happening is on the second page, there are these horrible huge chords that he wrote. And I just sound like I'm wearing mittens on my left hand every time I get to it anywhere near tempo. I'm not going to play it at tempo right now so you can hear what I'm talking about. So the left hand is what I'm complaining about. Okay, so it's that. But at tempo, or close to tempo, it's more like... Ah! See, I even didn't even hit any notes. Let me try it again. It's terrible! It's terrible, terrible, terrible. So, I was thinking about it. And I was also thinking about the back to the ukulele thing. How learning how to play this fretted instrument is making me hear pop music really differently. And I'm hearing things in the playing that I didn't hear before. So, for example, I'm hearing some of the kind of buzzes and clicks as a finger will move from one fret to another. And I just never heard that before. I never heard it. And I would imagine that that's the kind of thing that really, really, really good string players and fretted instrument players go crazy trying to fix. Or I don't know, maybe they just accept that it's part of the sound. Maybe that's like the ultimate wisdom is you just accept it's part of the sound. But anyway, the point is, here's this little thing happening in the sound that is not bothering me at all until I hear it. And it doesn't actually even bother me now. But it made me think about how much of my attention in my own playing I put towards these tiny little details, the little notes, right? And that's because they're often harder. Certainly in these pieces, they mostly are. But that's not what anybody actually cares about listening to. And my little experiments playing on Erard pianos, which was the piano that Chopin said he liked to play on when he wasn't quite up to snuff, like that was just sort of the easy piano for him, really have made it seem like the main melody comes out and is the big deal and all the little stuff is not so important. So another big picture thing I'm working on. All of which is to say that I looked at this. So I looked at that left-hand part, and I tried to think about what's actually most interesting in it. So I think this is interesting, then here, and then when we have this, I don't actually think that this note is so interesting. I think it's actually more interesting to hear this. so that maybe the skeleton becomes... Right? Convincing? No, that was not terribly musical playing, but I think that's going to be so much easier. So I'm going to just leave out this G. I'm just not going to play it, which is not so far from what's been happening anyway. Let me see if I can do this to show you what it's going to sound like. There'll be a little bit of splatting because I haven't taught myself the new thing, but... And then I start swearing. Anyway, I think that's going to work. And I think that I have agonized about how to play those two measures in my left hand for about, well, maybe 3 years. And I think that's enough. And now I'm going to just take out the G. I think I've done my due diligence of agony and I'm done. So I'm going to teach myself that and I'll play that for you next time. So something else that I'm looking at in here is that there are these places, like I'm trying to find the places where I freak out. Obviously that was one. There's another spot right after it that sometimes feels great and then sometimes feels terrible. And I think it's actually about what I do with my shoulders. And I want to show you that spot. So this is right after that. Okay, that felt pretty good. So this moment here, going into the next repetition of this, sometimes this feels really nice open, and sometimes it feels like it's the farthest thing in the world, and I'm stretching, and everything is terrible, and I have to open my shoulders. I just have to open my shoulders. I also have to make sure that I look... That was terrible. Anyway, I won't make you listen to me practice that. This moment here, I have two full beats of rest in the left hand, and I have to use that immediately to get down to here so that I don't panic trying to find it. So if I'm here and I'm still, my hand is still where it was, then I panic and then the right hand screws up. But if I can do and then already be there, so I'm waiting. Ugh. I have to do that a lot. That's where I'm doing them in little duples. Anyway, so that's a spot that I'm definitely wanting to fix. I'm also thinking about once I get to this E minor place, maybe having it be quiet, but that won't work if I've just arrived there in a panic. So that's something to think about. I also, in fact, with kind of all of the pieces, I'm going to be playing this under tempo, not hugely under tempo, but a few clicks under tempo with a metronome because I'm getting so indulgent with my tempos. I've been, you know, I haven't been practicing and I'm still coming back. And so the metronome does that obnoxious thing where it keeps getting faster and slower. Like it just is crazy. Because my own internal clock has just gone completely haywire with some of these. So I need to get that a little bit better in line. And just for those of you who know that the pages 3 and 4 of this etude are exactly the same as pages 1 and 2, except for just being in a different key, that may not be true. There may be very, very slight differences, but they're close enough that it's basically the same thing. Actually, here, this sort of undoes my solution over there, but I am deciding that this makes for an interesting contrast in the piece, and it's okay. Here, he really emphasizes the D, and he doesn't actually even have the A to the G sharp, right? Because it would be, and he just leaves it out. See, it's not there. But I honestly think I can live with it because I can't, otherwise it's just a terrible splat in the other one. This one for some reason is easier. Well, maybe because he left that out. It's a little easier. I don't know why. Anyway, so I'm going to do that one as is and then the other one, do my little cheat. For some reason, this chromatic scale is terrible. My impulses go off, so I have to really work on putting the left and right hands together there. No. Yes, here they go. It gets really wobbly. So here, here. I think that won't be that hard to fix, but I need to give it a little bit of attention. There's more of these horrible things here. But I think those ones kind of, I think we need to hear. So I don't think I can do anything. I just have to honestly probably play those measures a little bit slower. This is on page 7. This thing is 8 pages long. It's 8 pages of 16th notes, which is fine. It's just that they're particularly nasty 16th notes. Anyway. Anyway, that one I think will be fine. I mean, I don't know if it'll be fine. I'll make it work. How about that? I'll make it work. Okay, so you can see that I'm just embroiled in this piece. But honestly, it's kind of fun to be embroiled in it, even when I'm kind of complaining about, like, oh, it's 8 pages, and it's kind of fun to do the actual work. I think sometimes thinking about the work is really intimidating, and then doing the work is actually really fun and satisfying. And that might be pretty important to remember. Okay. Octaves. This thing. So the problem with this is that that is actually a little bit slower than it's supposed to be, or maybe even a lot slower than it's supposed to be. I am not going to get up and go get my metronome. And I can't sustain it at tempo for this thing. I don't know how to do that. Also, I really want to bring out these cool inner voices, which is possible on an Erard. See, it's cool and scary and kind of mean. And then that's the same an octave higher. I think I have to just keep doing this under tempo with the metronome and be super, super, super careful that I pay attention to my body, which is like the moral of the last year of my life. How my shoulders are is really important, and where my hands go on the keys, three-dimensional, whether my hands are closer to me or closer to the piano, going in and out on the keys is important. So if I'm doing a lot of motion in and out, that's extra motion that I don't have time for and can't deal with. But if I'm kind of mostly in one place, it works. I think I mostly have my thumb support where it needs to be for this. And I'm using my pinky and my ring finger, and that mostly is working pretty well. It's stamina and finding release points in it. And paying attention to my shoulders. I have to pay attention to my shoulders. Okay, and then the other thing, so after all that, I have another memory spot that is, you know what, I'm going to try this for you from memory. So the B section of this is beautiful, but it goes on and on and on and on and on. And I haven't played it that many times for audiences, but when I have, I always feel like, oh my God, they're sitting there just wondering, when is this torture going to be over? Which hopefully is not true, but is not the best thing to be thinking about. Anyway, I know why he put it in there. He put it in there because the player needs a rest after all of this millions of notes. I mean, this is etude number 10, and it's before the winter wind. So it makes sense that he put in this slow, pretty place where your body can have a little bit of a rest. But I'm having the hardest time memorizing it. The main cell of it repeats 3 times. But it's hard. All right, but I'm going to try it. Yesterday I did it. We'll see. If that was 2 times or 3 times. I'm going to pretend it was 2 times. Play to the end of this so you can hear how it goes. That was wrong in the right hand, but I'll learn it. Screaming involved. You know, part of what's tricky about the outside of this piece is that, meaning the, you know, bangy octaves. First of all, I don't want them to be bangy, but I do want them to sound really intense and loud and big and scary without my body feeling intense. So I need to try to feel as loose and as free as I possibly can in order to make this really loud sound. And 20 years ago, I would have said I knew exactly how to do that. And now I feel like it's harder than I thought. So, working on it. It probably is all about my belly, actually. Let me see if that's true. I don't know if you'll hear a difference or if I'll feel a difference, but let me see what happens if I engage my core for that octave thing I did with this. It's all octaves. The place where I was screaming sort of the most. Okay, so this is not with core engaged. No. Where the hell am I? Okay, here we go. So this is without core engaged. And this is with core engaged. Ah! I think the second one was better, but they're both terrible because I don't know where I am. I went for a bike ride in the battlefields last week, and it got myself kind of lost, which was really fun. It's nice to be able to do that, even though I live in a small town. And it was beautiful. It was this incredibly beautiful day. And I found myself saying out loud at one point, wow, it's really beautiful here, and I don't know where the hell I am. And I was thinking that that might be kind of a good mantra for some situations. Like, even if I feel like I'm trying to figure out how to play these pieces or what am I doing, maybe even if I don't know where the hell I am, maybe it still is really beautiful and I can really enjoy that. So it's really beautiful here and I don't know where the hell I am. Maybe is kind of a thought for the week. I think that is most of what I wanted to tell you about. I'll report back with my metronome and continuing to memorize and trying to figure all of these things out in a couple of weeks. You can find out more about me at jocelynswicker.com. I don't even remember what the rest of my end of the podcast spiel is, but I would really love to hear from you. If you want to let me know that you're listening, I would love to hear from you. So that's it, and thank you so much for being my practice buddy.